Grown-ups, we're going to have our Bible reading now. It's 1 Corinthians still. I'm going to read from verse 18 to chapter 2, verse 5. It all flows together, as you'll see. Page 1144, starting with verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who have been saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, but God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray briefly. Father in heaven, would the message of the cross not be foolishness to us today, but would we see your power in it as it changes us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I suspect that none of us have heard of Todd Keene and the Power Team. Okay? Todd Keene and the Power Team. Todd Keene and the Power Team are a group of world-class athletes who have performed the world's largest exhibitions of power, strength, and motivation for over 30 years in 40 countries. For a substantial fee, Todd Keene and the Power Team will come to your church for 5 nights and put on a display of like powerlifting and strength events. Someone in the team will share how they became a Christian that night. And they'll invite others to become Christians. The Power Team, according to the website that I looked up this week, okay? The Power Team have a proven track record, and some churches even double in size after their event. Todd Keene and the Power Team. That's him. I don't know. I think he's like ripping a steel plate or something like that. It sounds amazing. Nigel, do we have money in the budget tonight? No. Listen carefully, I'm not criticizing the Power Team. For some people who are into like bodybuilding or weightlifting, they may want to reach those kind of people in a way that I could never do. But I think it gives the wrong impression of what a local church and a bunch of Christians like us are. You see, if you're a Christian today,
looking around the church at Corinth, for some people who went week by week It was a pretty depressing sight. As people looked around, it seemed that their thinking was, how's this group of people ever going to reach influential people in Corinth? Sophisticated people? Who's going to have the flair to get alongside people and win them over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is going to be God's power team? Maybe we need to get Todd Keene on the line. Get him here and do one of his amazing feats of strength, and people will come to know and love the Lord Jesus. Maybe as you look around church this morning, go have a look. Look around. Look at these people. Maybe you think, how are we ever going to reach anyone with this lot? Verse 26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. He could be writing about us, couldn't he? Now, he doesn't say not any of you were influential or wise, but certainly not many of us. Think about this. If the Lord Jesus was going to get a group of people together with his message and say, go and make more disciples and change the world. Look around the room. We are not the people he's going to do it through, are we? Not by human wisdom. But that's not how God works. You know, praise God. Look what he says. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Us lot are exactly the kind of people that God chooses to do this work. When someone preached the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and you believed it, that wasn't a mistake. God was at work. When the Lord Jesus Christ drew you to this local church, it was not a mistake. He was at work. The people we have here trying to reach this area, despite all of our shortcomings, it's no mistake. It's central to his plan that in his grace, he picked you and I to come here, that we would declare his message to one another and to this area. To a world, you would think, I wouldn't pick me. But God has, and God does. And for the last 2,000 years, the Lord Jesus has been bringing mainly not influential in the eyes of the world, not many noble, not many wise, is a way to shame and show up what our world thinks is valuable, to demonstrate that his foolishness is wiser than man's wisdom, and his weakness is stronger than man's strength. Through the cross, the Lord Jesus has declared us not guilty when we come to faith in him. Through the cross, we've been set apart to serve him. Through the cross, we've been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that he promises that even if we die, it's not actually really death, because we're going to live on. And so in the world's eyes, God's power team, you and I, we may look weak, but he's doing it for an important reason, so that we would boast in the Lord Jesus. That's how it finishes in that little bit in verse 31. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. By saving us through the foolishness of the message of the cross, not one of us could ever say, I deserve to be on God's power team. Not one of us. If there's anything good about this local church, it's not because, you know, you're here, or I'm the pastor, or, you know, it's because of the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's power team is made up of weak people who say, don't rely on us. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus. He's got the power. He's got the wisdom. He does the miraculous stuff, not us. We just proclaim his message and are looking to love one another and love this area. We're weak, but he's strong. Do you know what I think this means for a local church? Well, a whole bunch of things. But here's one anyway. No matter how small and insignificant we may feel, God has chosen us to be here. And he will work with power through us. That is a promise. Something else I think it means for a local church, there's no room for pride or ego here. Everyone is welcome. Not many of us were influential or of noble birth. Not many of us were wise. We work hard at welcoming one another, at building those bonds of friendship, of inviting people into our lives, of daily bearing each other's burdens, of helping one another, no matter people's background or education or skin color or whatever, because the only reason that we are here is because of the kindness of the Lord Jesus. Something else I think it means. We may not be a big church now, but I pray for the day when every seat in here is filled, we're stowed, there's so many people coming in that we're like, where are we going to seat everyone? I pray for those days. But the danger of that is, look how well we're doing. Look at how gifted a preacher I must be. What a fine pastor this local church must have. Suddenly we stop boasting in the Lord and we start boasting in ourselves. I say again, if there's anything good that's happening here, we've got to boast about the Lord Jesus Christ. One other thing on this, I think it means broken people are welcome here as well. God chooses to display his wisdom and power through the weakness of the cross and through the weakness of regular people like us. I hope we never give the impression that this local church is only for sorted people, because that would cancel every one of us. We're all hurting, weary, weak. That's just the sort of people the Lord Jesus hung out with. The least, the last, the lost. He loves to bring us into community. He loves it when people say, do you know what? I was broken, but Jesus helped me. Because that's boasting in him. And if you want to experience that, maybe for the first time this morning, it comes by believing what you may have thought was the foolish message of the cross. But today has come with power. Because maybe God, the Holy Spirit, is pricking your heart or your conscience and saying, yep, you've got to follow the Lord Jesus. This foolish message has all of God's power in it. It's also got forgiveness and mercy. So please, don't leave this morning without putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And come and join us, that we might proclaim this foolish message together and be what on the world's eyes may look like a group of weak people, but a group of weak people with God's power in it who are boasting in the Lord Jesus. Why not turn now from your sins and ask for his mercy? Come join the power team. You don't have to be able to bench press 500 kilos. Thankfully, you've just got to ask for the mercy of Jesus. Here's the final thing. We're nearly done. In the eyes of our world, God's power team are often scared. Look what Paul says. This foolish message and weakness. And Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters. That's how Paul felt when he went to Corinth. He didn't feel like Todd Keene and the power team. He felt like you and I. Look what he says in verse 3. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. The Apostle Paul, who saw loads of people come to faith in the Lord Jesus, when he rocked up in Corinth, his knees were knocking. His mouth went dry. There were butterflies in his tummy as he thought, I've got to speak about the Lord Jesus. He knew some people would think that message was foolish. He knew that some people would look at him and think, he doesn't look very impressive. He doesn't look as if he could pull a truck with his teeth. It's not always a bad thing. Because when we come with fear and trembling, when we're serving the Lord Jesus, that's often the place where we start to rely on God. When we're scared and we think, well, where else am I going to turn? Except to God alone. And in Corinth, Paul, unimpressive Paul with his foolish message. Well, what happened? Verse 4, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. When he says that, I don't think he means there was a great big light show and the power team came out, the smoke billowing across the stage and they start, putting those big, the world's strongest man. It wasn't like that, okay? It was nothing like that. When he says that there was a demonstration of the Spirit's power, I think it meant that when he preached and told people about the foolish message of Jesus, some people believed. Some people believed. And when we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to others, we're going to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Some people are going to believe. How do I know that? Because you're here this morning. And I know that at least some of you are Christians. They believed the message, and it was the power of God. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We've got to finish. The Lord Jesus will sometimes put us in uncomfortable places to speak about him. He will. Often those times are the times where I'm driven to pray, Lord, help me. I don't know what to say. My mouth's gone dry. I've got butterflies in my stomach. And we rely on him. And there's no better place to be than on our knees asking God for his help. Because that's where the power is. What's a local church? Unbelievably, it's God's power team. Thankfully, we don't need to wear lycra and lift weights. But we do proclaim the message of the cross. We may look unimpressive, but we've got God's power. And we're never more powerful than when we're relying on him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, somehow you have called us to be your power team. Even though we are weak, we're not noble and wise, but because of the Lord Jesus, you've equipped us with a powerful message. You've equipped us with your Holy Spirit. And it's not that we are strong, but that you are. We ask for your help today, this week, to be your power team, to keep proclaiming that message in our weak and unimpressive ways so that you get all the glory, that we boast about the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.